You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
No matter who you are, welcome to church. I really am glad you're here. It's going to be a great week. I mean it when I say that I still get excited coming to church every single service, right? Three services every weekend. This is our second service this weekend. We had last night, which, by the way, there was a ton of people at the Saturday night service, which was awesome. Oh, thanks, mate. You're an absolute legend. Cheers. And sorry, I didn't call him old. Legend means awesome to me. And yeah, whatever. But if the shoe fits, hey. Anyway, But I still love coming to church three times every weekend. I absolutely love it because there's so many different people that God wants to do so many different things in your lives. And so you didn't just come here today to stand here and sing songs, all right? God is here and He knows what you need and He's going to speak to you today, amen? But anyway, welcome to the new people as well. If you're new here, my name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor here. I'm really glad you're here. We've got a gift for you out in the lobby, one of these welcome boxes. We had these designed right here by our marketing team or our graphics team, whatever you want to call that person. Anyway, they made this for you. And a couple of shirts in there, journal, everything. It's awesome. So go get that straight after the service. Take a ride out those doors. There's a team of people waiting to bless you. Even if you've come here before and you're just coming back today, if you've had like a 1 month break, then you can get a box too. All right. Sounds good. Awesome. I'm going to give this one to you, mate. Love you. You're an absolute legend. If it's not your size, you can give it away. You can just go out there and switch it around. But I want to tell you this, though. I've got a secret for you. Just before you take your seats, one last secret, all right? So, sorry, Rach. Christy and I, we want all of you to have a shirt, right? So these are the new shirts. We got these ones. And there's also some black ones that have Eternity Church just written down the front. And we want everybody to have a shirt. And a lot of people have been asking, can I buy one of the new shirts? Now, we want to say yes to that, right? But the problem is, we don't like selling things. We like giving things away. And we're like, but that might be like 1,000 shirts, right? And so anyway, in February, we are gonna have a big merch giveaway, all right? And so in February, there's gonna be one weekend, and Christy's already organizing this. There's gonna be one weekend where every single person who comes to church can get a shirt for free, all right? Come on, that's good news, for free. Because we're like, we just cannot bring ourselves to charge you for a shirt. This church, we operate on people's generosity and we operate in generosity, amen? So we can't sell it. We need to give it to you. Too many people have asked, so we're doing a week in February where everybody gets a shirt. Come on, look at someone and say, you get a shirt. Turn to your neighbor and say, you get a shirt. And then look around and go, everybody get a shirt. All right? So it's going to be awesome. So anyway, look at your neighbor, say, are you ready to receive? And take your seat. Now, I know that it's the 9 a.m. service, and I know that, and I see a few extra empty seats today, and sometimes that means people are tired, but we ain't tired in here, all right? And I need you to follow the rules, all right? There's rules at Eternity Church. Number one, you have to yell at the preacher, all right? Like, if he says something that's good, say it's good. It's not for my ego, although I do have an ego, but it's not for that. It's the scripture says that when we dwell together in unity, God commands a blessing, right? And so even if I'm preaching a crap sermon, right? But if you say, that's good, and you all say it together in unity, maybe God will bless it. I don't know. That's not like super theologically accurate, but it works for me, all right? But for real though, when you respond, that's good, amen, come on, like, right? The person next to you who didn't have enough coffee this morning is like, what'd I miss? And they wake up, all right, cool? Can you yell at the preacher today? Awesome, awesome. So, hey, how good was Reggie Dabbs last week? So good, right? Yeah, you get it. See, you're responding. That's fantastic. All right, all right, all right, all right. Come on. All right, Reggie Dabbs was wild, right? There are so many families that attend our church because their first weekend was a Reggie Dabbs weekend. There are other families who attend our church because they couldn't come the Reggie Dabbs weekend but thought, well, if they can get Reggie Dabbs, they might be all right. And so they turned up the next week. And so that was really awesome. But we're in the middle, well, actually, we're near the end now of a sermon series called Receive. And so I want to share with you a little bit about that just to set up what I'm talking about today. See, it's called Receive because we believe there's so many things that God has already done for you that you just have to receive. For example, Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world, right? But you have to receive that. You have to say, God, I receive your forgiveness. There are certain things that you don't need to ask God to do. He's already done them, right? You don't need to ask God for him to be merciful anymore. You have to say, God, I receive your mercy. I receive your grace. I receive your purpose. We don't need to ask God to, God, would you please give my life a purpose, right? He's given you purpose. You have to receive the purpose and walk in the purpose that God has given you. Amen? So we don't have to always go, you know, like trying to figure out, God, are you going to? No. Just receive what God has done. Ask, want, deserve. See, we talked also 2 weeks ago about how some people just can't receive a blessing because there's a blockage in their mind, right? See, Scripture says you do not have because you do not ask. For some people, you do not have because you just will not receive, right? Like if you try to give someone a gift and they're like, you know, no, that's all right. No, you have it. It's too much, right? We got to learn to receive everything that God wants to give us. Some people won't receive because they won't ask. Some people won't receive because they don't think they're allowed to want anything in their life. And some people don't receive because they don't think that they deserve any good thing that God would want to do in your life. But Scripture says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That was way better news than your response. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, all right? That means when God looks at you, he sees perfect, wonderful, brilliant, right? That's what God sees when he looks at you. And that person does deserve every good thing that God wants to bring into their life. We are not the church that says, I'm just a sinner redeemed. No, I'm just the redeemed. The sinner is in the past, right? Now, yeah, I still mess up every flipping day, but that's not my identity anymore. My identity is redeemed. Righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, worthy to receive all that God has done for me. Amen. That's good news, and if you don't praise him, I will. Come on. Some people are like, fine, I will then. So you ready to receive today? I want to start with a couple of stories. Disclaimer, if your children are in this room and you're like, oh no, they're learning really bad tricks from the pastor, that's on you, all right? You know what I'm like, all right? It's not a secret. You know what I'm like, all right? So, and plus we have kids church, you know? So anyway, all good? Good. Do we have any farm-raised people in this room? Come on, hands up, you're a farm-raised person, yeah? Yeah, I don't know if it's just in Australia or if it's in the US as well, but farm-raised people are different. Yeah, just different. You know, we just do things a little different than everybody else, right? See, I was a farm-raised kid, and I don't know if maybe everybody's the same, but farm-raised kids have the opportunity to get up to mischief more than the city kids. I don't know if that's why it is, but I was a farm-raised kid, and there's something about being a farm kid and blowing stuff up. Is that just me? Hands up, be honest. Yeah, it blew a lot of stuff up on the farm growing up. Like 5 honest people in the room and 150 lying people that put their hand up before that won't now. Come on. Y'all did it too, didn't you, right? Any city kids that blew up way too much stuff than you should have? Yeah. All right. And what's funny is they did the same thing as us farm kids, but it's on their record and it's not on ours, right? See, for us, it all started with deodorant cans. Like, we never, ever went to a bonfire without having to buy more deodorant the next day, right? Everyone else as well. Like, but it's not our fault. You see, every deodorant can says keep away from fire on it. That's the dumbest thing you could ever write on a product marketed to teenagers. right? Like teenagers are the stinkiest kids on the planet, stinkiest people on the planet. So they make deodorant, market it toward them, and then write, keep away from fire. Literally the stupidest thing you could write on a can for a teenager. They should make a teenage version that says throw in fire. And they'll be like, oh, that sounds boring. Nope, not going to do that, right? If my mates and I ever saw the words keep away from fire, what we really saw was throw in fire, run. That's all we saw on anything that said that. But after a while, the aluminium or the aluminum word that, like, you know, there's another 13 letters in that word, just so you know, right? But after a while, the aluminium cans got boring. See, they're thin and they're soft and they blew up way too fast. So we graduated to fruit cans made of steel. Made of steel, right? Steel cans. Did you have those over here? Yeah, like we called it tinned fruit, but as like, you know, like peaches or, you know, different things or cherries and stuff in a rock solid steel can. And so one day, my mates and I were like, we're going to go camp down in Mike's farm. Mike's dad's farm. It's about half a mile down in the paddock. That's Australian for field. Half a mile down the paddock. And it was Mr. Reed's farm. But before we left, we went into the Reed family pantry, right? Where all their food is kept. And because we just knew that you can't camp, you can't have a fire, and it's going to blow stuff up. And we've graduated from deodorant cans. And so we found in their pantry a commercial-sized tin of peaches. So it's like that big, right? It was a foot and a half high, and it was a foot in diameter. And it's made of steel, all right? Now, Mike's mum, as we're walking out, she's like, boys, why you got all those peaches? And we're like, Mrs. Reed, it's just, you know, we just want millions of peaches, peaches for me, millions of peaches, peaches for free. She's like, you can't just take that. We're like, no, it's all right. Peaches come in a can. They were put there by a man in a factory downtown. Anyway, so we took our big can of peaches, right? And we put it on our dirt bikes and we go down the laneway. We got a fire started. It was really big. Like it was about from here to that wall big. We had a great fire and it was awesome. We put our massive can of peaches on the fire. And after about 30 minutes, it hadn't done anything yet. And we're like, well, we're in trouble now because we can't go over there. But my mates go, Jesse, you need to go look at that. I'm like, why I got to go look at that? They're like, well, you're so skinny, shrapnel won't even be able to find you. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. All right, I'll go do it. I'll be safe. I'll go sideways, you know? So I go over there, and as I'm there, the ends go, and they bulge out, right? Like, so farm kids, you're all like, I understand what's happening here. City kids are like, what? What's he doing? This is weird, right? It bulges out, so I'm like, I leg it. I'm like, let's go right back over there, and we hang out. Another 15 minutes or so later, it still hadn't exploded yet, and they go, Jesse, you need to go check it out again. I'm like, man, why am I always the one that's sacrificed in all these stories, right? And so I start walking over there, and I get from about here to the cross away, and it just goes boom. The biggest, loudest, most ear-piercing boom that at that point I had ever heard in my entire life. And I turn around and we all jump under our sleeping bags. When we get out of the sleeping bags, it is raining coals, right? Our sleeping bags have holes melted in them. The entire paddock, right, which must be about 10 times bigger than this auditorium for that one paddock. It was a dairy farm. And the entire paddock was glowing with red coals everywhere. It was absolutely beautiful, by the way. And we had our iPhones. We'd have been like, selfie, click, you know, hashtag blew it up, you know. But and so it looked absolutely beautiful in there. But about a minute later, Peter Reed, that's Mike's dad, Mr. Reed starts driving down the laneway in his ute, right, truck. And so he's coming down and we're like, we are dead. Like, he's going to kill us so fast there won't even be room for the A. It's going to be D-E-D, dead. You know, like, boom. Like, we are dead meat right now. And anyway, he comes up. He gets out of his ute, and he just looks way over at us, just yells out, boys, you all right? And we're like, yes, Mr. Reed, we're all right. Okay, you shook the whole house with that one. Was that the peaches? Yes, Mr. Reed, that was the peaches. I knew you weren't going to eat them. Maybe don't do that again. Yes, Mr. Reed, I won't do it again. Have a good night, boys. Yes, Mr. Reed, have a good night. Thank you. But you know, farm kids, don't worry. These stories have a purpose and one day we'll get to the end of them. In about, you know, an hour and a half. And but you know, like for a farm kid, that was awesome, but it wasn't enough. We're like, okay, if we can do that with peaches, there's got to be more we can do and survive, right? A few weeks later, we're going camping and we're like, you know what? If peaches did that, what if we build a bigger fire and take an LPG gas cylinder from the barbecue? Like, this makes it, I told you that it's your fault if your kids are in this room. That's Jesse gave me an idea. No, I did not. Don't do it, right? We head out there. We make a huge fire. We were dumb enough to set up our tents not too far from the fire. You know, that was, I don't know what we were thinking about that. You know, let's just put all our belongings right there, you know. And so anyway, so we make a huge fire. We put our LPG gas cylinder on the fire. We were smart enough to fill it up before we got there. And about an hour and a bit later, it still hadn't blown up. We're like, what's going on up in here? Jesse, go check. I'm not checking this one out, all right? Come on. One of my mates, who was definitely not the sharpest tool in the shed, in fact, I don't even know if he was in the shed, right? Like, he's like, well, we did bring a rifle so we could eat tomorrow. Yeah, you know where he went with this, didn't you? He's like, perhaps it needs help. So from a while back, he lines this thing up and shoots it. Boom. I don't know if you've ever created a mushroom cloud. We have. That thing, now, we built that on the sandbank of a river, and our rivers, I don't know, I haven't been to a river in the US yet, and but the sandbanks there, they're made of sand, right? So if the water's over there, there'd be about this much sand, the stage width, there'd be about that much sand. So we built this sucker on the sand, right? When it went boom, it dug about a meter crater in the ground. That's like about 3 feet deep, right? 3.5 feet deep in the ground, and we don't know where our fire went. That was gone, immediately disappeared. Our tents are on fire. At least we still had a fire, I guess. Our tents were on fire. You'd hear this as coals land in the river, and our kayak is sinking because we left it right by the fire, and that was stupid, wasn't it? Biggest boom I'd ever heard. Then a police officer. We start hearing sirens. We're like, uh-oh, we're dead this time. He ain't going to be as nice as Mr. Reed. Police officer goes, finds, you know, a bunch of 16, 17-year-old boys. You boys been drinking? No, sir. We're not the sharpest tools in the shed when we're sober. So we know that adding alcohol to our lives would be a really terrible addition. So we don't drink. Well, that's good. What was that big boom? Gas cylinder, sir. Wow. You for real? Yes, sir. That was amazing. Don't do it again. If I hear that again, I'm gonna come out and take y'all with me next time. You understand? Yes, sir. Have a good night, kids. Thank you, sir. I wanna talk to you today. Yeah, country cops, right? They're like, I just cannot be bothered, whatever. You know, like, everyone alive? Yep, good. All right, out we go, right? Like, come on, country cops, gotta love them, right? Are they like that in the country in America as well? Yeah, cool. And so, but I want to talk to you today about the boom. Come on, touch your neighbor, say boom. See, whenever my mates and I got together, there was a boom. Now, everybody knew it. Our parents knew it. They were just bad parents, right? Everybody knew that when we got together, things were gonna go boom every single time. People heard about it. People talked about it. People called the police about it, right? People felt it in their hearts. They knew that whenever we were together, there was gonna be a boom. I wanna talk to you, though, about the boom that people should feel every moment you and the Holy Spirit get together. Amen. See, when a believer receives power and authority, God gives them when the Holy Spirit comes into their lives, and when a believer lives in and walks in that power and authority, people are going to start talking about what happens when you are around. There might be some rumblings around town. You know, things might be shaking a bit around town, that things are changing in your life, that good things are happening to people who hang around you. People are going to hear about it. People are going to feel it. People are going to know it. There is a boom that happens when you hang out with the Holy Spirit, and it should be creating a reputation for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? Are you catching what I'm throwing, all right? There should be a reputation in your life. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive, that's right, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will receive power. Too many people live in trouble and trial that they have the power to overcome. Too many people live in bondage to past mistakes or bondage to past issues that God has given them authority over. Jesus said you will receive power. Jesus is the one who said you will receive power. In fact, he said it's better for us that he goes back to heaven and that the Holy Spirit come into our lives and give us power and become the source of our strength, the source of our power, the source of our qualification. He is our qualifier, our anointer, our comforter, and our counselor. Amen. But check it out. This word power is actually translated from the word dunamis. When Jesus said you shall receive power, he said you shall receive dunamis. You shall have dunamis when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It's also the exact same word that the word dynamite is translated from. In the Greek, dunamis means dynamite. It also, and so he's saying it means power, all right? And that's the word that Jesus is using. You shall receive power. Such great power that we're going to use the same word to describe blowing up a gas cylinder in the river. Such great power that we're going to use the same word to describe blowing up a quarry out in the woods. That's what Jesus says will come into our lives. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and you will be my witnesses. People will witness the boom that is happening in your life. People will witness the rumble. They'll witness the change. They'll witness the power. They'll see what God is doing in your life. They'll see the good works that God's doing in you, and they'll glorify the Lord. Amen. It will get people's attention. The Holy Spirit is here. It's not weird. It's Bible. Jesus said, I'm a roll. He's going to come here. Right? It happened. The Holy Spirit has arrived. Hallelujah. If you're a Spirit-filled believer, you have the power. You hear that? If you're a Spirit-filled believer, you have the power. Today, I'm here to encourage you to live in it, to use it, to enjoy it, to be all that God has called you to be, to do all that God has called you to do, to live in the authority and the power that God has given you. What do I mean? Do you know that scripture says that the devil prowls around like a lion seeking whom he shall destroy? Did you know that? Devour actually is what it says, consume. The devil rolling around like a lion looking for somebody to destroy. Now that doesn't mean we need to live afraid, right? Freaking out like there's a devil behind every corner. Ah, careful, there could be a devil. No. You have power. You have power. So we don't roll around being like, oh, there's a devil there freaking out about everything or blaming everything on the devil. Ah, the vacuum cleaner broke again. No, it wasn't the devil. My vacuum cleaner's possessed, it broke. No, you bought a cheap one. Buy a better one next time. It might last longer, right? Or get the Best Buy warranty that costs 12 times more than the product. Sorry, Best Buy. If you work at Best Buy, I apologize. No. Jesus said that he has come to give you life and that the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. So what he said, I've come that you have life, but the devil has come that you would, but the devil has come to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy you. See, walking in the power and the authority means that when the enemy comes to steal your health, kill your dreams, destroy your family, you remind him what happened every time the Holy Spirit of God was pit up against a lion of the devil in the Word of God, right? If he wants to prowl around my family, my house, I'll remind him of the story of Daniel in the lion's den. See, Daniel was serving God. Daniel was praying to the Lord. And then he gets thrown into a hole in the ground full of lions because he was serving God. But then God came and shut the mouths of the lions and they couldn't touch him. They couldn't make a noise. They couldn't hurt him. They couldn't even say, gonna get you. They couldn't do anything. Because God was there. If he wants to come for my dreams and the calling of God on my life, I remind him what happened. Anytime he touched one of God's anointed or somebody with the calling of God in their lives, I remind him of Samson. When the Holy Spirit anointed Samson and one day he encounters a lion out in the woods and he tears it apart with his bare hands like a young goat, it says. I don't know why it says a young goat. Maybe back then people used to like tear apart goats for like fun or something. It seems weird, but it's a weird little description. But he tore apart a lion with his bare hands because he had the power of God and the Holy Spirit on his life. And when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you have the power and the authority to destroy the devil's plans and effects of his works in your life and around your life. Hallelujah. Is that good news? Come on, it was better news than that response. Amen. Honestly, I really do believe that that was better news than that. I think it thought it deserved at least three hands together, you know? When the devil prowls around looking for an opportunity to devour my family or my calling, you know what he's going to find instead? Another lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Scripture says that Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah, right? It's kind of like a Scar versus Simba deal going on up in here, you know? Like, you got this scrawny, filthy, useless, no good, everyone hates him, good for nothing, go and eat worms kind of lion, right? And then you got Simba, who has remembered who he is, right? And then they're going to fight. Scar going to come and fight Simba, right? That's what's going on here. He's going to be met by the power, the force, and the roar of Almighty God, amen? Because when the Holy Spirit came into my life, I received power. So when the devil is attacking my family, I have power. I have the authority over that. When Charlie come into my room screaming this week, freaking out, clawing on my back, just going, Dad, help, I'm scared, what's going on? Because there were bugs in his dreams, freaking him out. He'd been having these night terror things, and he'd wake up terrified, absolutely terrified, freaking out, right? Like climbing up the wall, freaking out. So we took authority over that garbage. Oh, I can sit there and be like, I wish this would get better, right? Wish this would get better. Or I can take authority over that garbage. So we declare that there is already a king in our house. There's already a lion in Charlie's heart. Night terrors, nightmares, fear have no place in his heart, in his dreams, or in his room, amen. So he went to bed saying the name of Jesus. He went to bed praying, Holy Spirit, keep me safe tonight. Be the guard in my life with a hedge of protection around me. And that's what happened. No more terrors. It stopped. It stopped. Hallelujah. And when you drop your kids off at school, are you going to drop them off saying, all sorts of bad things have been happening at school? I don't know. I'm afraid what's going to happen. Or are you going to say, not today, devil. Not this kid, devil. Not this family. Not this school. I got power and authority over you. Get out in Jesus' name. That's what I do when I drop my kids off at school. I pray for them and I warn him. Not today, punk. Not here. Amen. I'm under God's authority. I'm not under the devil's authority. He's under my feet. Church, I'm talking to every single believer in this room. You have authority over the darkness. You do not need to live in fear. Christians should not be walking around going, oh no, they passed this law, it's the end of my life. Oh no, they did that, it's the end of my life. Oh no, this happened in a school. Oh no, this happened over there. Oh no, there's wars and rumors of wars, and oh my gosh, it's the end of the world. What kind of life is that? Right? You're a believer. You have the power of God in your life. You are a spirit-filled believer. Come on, put your Holy Ghost big boy and big girl pants on and get after it. Amen? Come on, get after it. You do not have to live in fear. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That's what the Word of God says. And yet too many believers walk around and we don't receive that. We walk around in fear. We're like, oh, we act so timid. So timid. Come on. The creator of the universe is standing behind you. The creator of the universe is your best friend. You know, you're at school, and if your best friend's the big tough guy, you can back chat anyone in that school, right? Back chat, did you say that? Yeah, no? Talk back? Yeah, that word. When your best friend is the toughest bugger in the school, you can talk back to anybody, right? Like, imagine having the toughest guy in school being your best friend, and then the weakest guy in school, basically picture me, right, in school, and you're afraid of him. No, it's not going to work like that. He hasn't given you a spirit of fear. We don't need to live afraid, worried about the state of the world. You have authority over the enemy. You have the power to live a victorious life, the power to live a better life, the power to live a blessed life. And you have the power, by the way, to bring that life, hope, salvation, joy, and healing into other people's lives. And so instead of walking around timid and afraid, you know, like sometimes we're afraid to tell that scrawny dude how awesome the big dude is, because we're worried the scrawny dude's going to say something mean to us. What? Tell him, hey, big guy's awesome. And I know he'll be your mate too. You have the power. Come on, when we blew up that fruit can, Mr. Reed's house shook. Something fell off the wall. When we blew up that gas can, 10 people called the cops. I know what happened, but something happened. And there might be some dead kids out there somewhere. You better go check them. Something bad happened, right? Everybody knew what happened. I know it's a funny story, but it is just like that. The explosions that my friends and I caused affected other people's lives. And so should the Holy Ghost in your life. Amen. Is that good? Is that good? Because when I was writing this, I just was encouraged what God was giving to me. What God was laying on my heart, it was encouraging me. That's why it's called dunamis power. It's not saying it is dynamite. They're just both derived from the same tremendously powerful word. And you carry it everywhere you go. Into your mates' lives, into your family's lives, your colleagues' lives, being affected by the power of God in your life. See, like the psalmist wrote, like David wrote, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Church, it is following you all the days of your life. Goodness of God is following you. The mercy of God is overflowing from you and should be touching their lives. Grace is all over you. Love is pouring out of you. The Holy Spirit has given you the power to blow people's minds with the wonder and the glory and the grace and the favor of God. Strangers can walk past us, turn around and say, I can't explain it. But when I walk past you, something felt good in my heart. When I sat next to you, have you ever had that? You've sat next to someone and you're like, something. And you always find out they're a believer almost every single time, don't you, right? Happens to me too. I'm not trying to float my own boat or blow my own trumpet, but sometimes I'll be sitting down, someone will say, what is it about you? Because they can feel something. it's not even my love. They can feel His love. You feel His grace. You feel His mercy, His power on me, touching them. Because power gets noticed. Dynamite will never go boom without changing things in the atmosphere. God designed you to go boom in people's lives. Did you hear that? You, every single one of you. Every time you walk in the room, the power of God goes boom. That's good news. Every time someone's hurting and you walk into their lives, boom. Every time someone tells you they're having a bad day, boom. Every time that your friend gets a bad doctor's report, boom. Come on, someone say boom. Show me you're getting there. Pastor Jesse, my kids are walking away from God. Then boom, we're going to lay hands on them and boom, amen. Pastor Jesse, my grandson's having heart surgery. Lay hands on him and boom in Jesus' name. My family's falling apart, boom. Charlie, my wife left me and I'm not coping. Boom. Hey, Doug, my life's spinning out of control. What can I do? Lay hands on him and boom. Raquel, I can't seem to break free of the pain and the hurt of my past. Boom, boom, boom in Jesus' name. That's what's happening when believers walk into somebody's life. Amen. The sound of a believer who has received the power of God is boom. Walking in the room, boom. That rhymes way more than I meant it to. Sitting at the bus stop, boom in Jesus' name. Standing in the school pickup line, serving the homeless with chopper, on a missions trip in Mumbai, preaching at a church somewhere else in the country, boom. Church, what's the noise of a spirit-filled believer? That's right. You are way more capable than you ever knew. You're able to do more and go further than you ever believe. You have everything you need to be all that God designed you to be. You have everything you need to do all that God calls you to do. No one in this room is inadequate. No one in this room is a mistake. No one in this room has sinned too much. Oh yeah, but I got this sin issue in my life and yada, yada, yada. I don't care. And nor does the power of God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means no matter what you've done wrong, no matter what you're doing wrong, you're the same as me. And I'm the same as you. And I have that power of God in my life.